Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the Van Wee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
It's Saturday morning on the First Coast. It is a beautiful, glorious Saturday morning. If you don't live here, I bet you wish you did. There's room for a couple more before we close Florida from all further incoming traffic.
Not that many, though.
Not that many. Anyway, as I said, this is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Katie Kirshner.
Katie has graciously joined us today. She is with Strategic Sites, the commercial real estate folks out, particularly out at the beach. And you'll hear the connection to all that pretty soon after we do some general housekeeping and business as usual, but we wanted to talk about that. Now, don't think because we have a guest here that's the only topic that will be covered today. It will not be. And as always, I will remind you that not all financial programs are created equal. We are here live as we always are. If you want to control the content in any way, shape, or form, all you have to do is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255. That's 222-TALK. So whatever your questions would be, whether they're real estate, whether they're financial, whether they're general or whatever, give us a call. We do have a trivia question that we're going to throw out here pretty soon. And I remind everybody that the trivia question is sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 636-7888. I will also give you a little background on us. I know our audience grows so fast that if we skip two or three shows without reminding people that we do actually have day jobs, then they might not actually realize it. So we'll get into that a little bit. But first, as always, we want to talk about what happened this week in the markets. And if I need to be awakened afterwards, just kick me under the table because, boy, not much went on.
Yeah, you kind of stole my thunder there.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, not much happened this week. So another week, the S&P, the Dow, and the NASDAQ all closed within 0.2% of where they closed last week. That isn't to say there wasn't any movement, but it was all in all a relatively quiet week with very little volatility. Earnings season and summer are coming to a close, and there hasn't been a whole lot of news or a whole lot of volume in the markets to move on. In a couple of weeks, traders will return from summer breaks, and I would expect volumes to pick up. We'll have the election in the fall, and while I do expect equities to react to the race a little bit, I don't think that either candidate getting elected will cause the market to crash or do anything crazy. I think that earnings are going to drive this market a lot more than the political season. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
The energy sector had a really nice week, with oil rising more than 8%. In June and July, oil dropped more than 20%, putting it pretty solidly into bear market territory. However, oil has since rallied more than 20%, putting it right back into a bull market.
See, can't keep the smile off my face.
I know, that makes me happy too, except when I have to fill up my car.
Well, there's that, yes. Boy, what a change at the pump the last couple of days.
Huh? Yeah, no kidding.
Wow.
Yep. So crude is now trading over $48 a barrel, and I think it may be able to push a little higher. I wouldn't be surprised to see it.
I'd like to think that the lows back in the 20s and 30s are probably history. No one knows for sure, of course, but it seems like the rumors now are a little more substantiatable, where they're going to try to get production under control, plus with the big drawdown this past week.
Yeah, exactly.
People are driving like crazy.
They are. It is a busy driving season with gas usage being near all-time highs, or if not at all-time highs. Earnings season officially ended this week with the earnings beat rate standing at 64%, the best it has been since 2010. The revenue beat rate ended at 56%, the best since 2014. Keep in mind that this was on diminished expectations, and analysts are still downgrading more forecasts than upgrading at this time. On a sector basis, technology had the most beats on earning and revenue, while utilities had the worst beat rate in both categories. Materials and energy round out the bottom three, while financials placed in the top three in both categories. Industrials had a Industrials had a very good season based on earnings, but placed near the bottom on revenue, while healthcare had a strong showing on revenue, but was in the middle of the pack on earnings. So kind of a mixed result outside of the very top and the very bottom.
It's something of a strange economy.
Absolutely. Who would have thought technology, after pushing new highs all last year, would be on top again? And then utilities, which have been so run up lately, had the worst season that we've seen in a long time.
And what have we been saying?
Yeah, we have.
So 20% increase in utilities, time to rebalance, sell off your profits. And this week proved it.
In economic news, industrial production rose by the most it has in 2 years. It is still down versus a year ago, but the trend is definitely in the right direction. Energy is showing the strongest gains, not surprisingly, followed by materials and utilities. The Consumer Price Index was also released this week, and although it was down from last month, most of that drop came from energy. That should reverse itself when the report comes out next month if oil continues to climb in price. The categories that saw the biggest increases were rent and healthcare. Surprise, you know, rent, that's something we're going to talk about today. So.
Yes, we are.
The housing data released this week showed that building permits for single-family homes declined by 27,000 units versus the prior month. That being said, there are still very few homes being constructed relative to demand, which tends to result in price increases. This is great news for those of us that own homes, and if you don't, be sure to call Angela and Howard and start looking for one.
No kidding. With the interest rates the way they are, it is a classic time to become a homeowner.
Yeah, it's truly amazing what the debacle of 2008 did to home inventory. It just, we overbuilt for a couple years, but now we've been underbuilding for coming up on 10 years, 8 years-ish. So it really, there's still not enough inventory to meet demand out there.
Yeah, like I said, it's a good thing if you already own one. And if you don't, be a good time to start thinking about it. Well, I didn't see anything that really shocked me in the markets this week. Looking forward, typically over many, many years of history, a presidential election year turns out to be a positive year, although most of them aren't stellar. They come in kind of where we are right now. So
yeah,
I would
right
look
line.
For pretty much steady, although volatile, rest of the year. I don't see any reason to be the world's biggest buyer, and I don't see any reason to be running for the exits right at the moment.
Yeah, it was interesting. In the beginning of the year, we saw all sorts of volatility, and then it has all but disappeared for the summer, basically. And so I can't imagine that it's going to stay this calm for the rest of the year. It's just been such you cannot make money investing in volatility right now.
Labor Day brings on two things historically. It brings on the traffic again.
Mm-hmm. You know,
traffic in the market, and it brings on interest in the political scene. So everything's going to change after Labor Day. Personally, I believe that the market will have a positive reaction to the people returning. You know, everybody's out in the Hamptons instead of trading day to day. I honestly believe that the increased volume, because we have really lacked volume in the market for a long time. I think the increased volume will ultimately be positive. I don't see people running for the exits.
It's been a pretty good year to date with the Dow up about 6.5%, the S&P up over that about 6.8%, and the NASDAQ trailing just a little at 4.6%. But this quarter alone, the NASDAQ is up 8.2%, so that's been really solid.
Yeah, it really has. All right, you want to give out a trivia question?
Yes, I would. So I did a little research, and I went back 20 years to August 19th of 1996. And what I'd like to know is how many times during that 20-year period has the S&P closed at new all-time highs? So not intraday, but actual closes. How many of those days during that 20 years has the S&P closed at a new all-time high?
And
it's a pretty big number.
I will tell you, I guessed low. Quite a bit low.
Yeah, it's a pretty big, I was surprised how high it was.
Yeah, the nature of new highs is such that it tends to creep through them. The nature of new lows, maybe not quite so much.
Yeah, it shoots down.
Gravity definitely affects it more than anti-gravity. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Katie and a bunch of other good things. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Mortgage. Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Katie Kirshner.
And as if you just tuned in, as I said earlier, Katie is a commercial real estate specialist, primarily out at the beach. I'll let her tell you what territory they cover completely when we get into it. But the first thing I wanted to do is just have Adam spend a moment and tell everybody who we are when we're not here.
Sure. We are fee-only financial planners located in Jacksonville Beach. Our office is very easy to get to from everywhere in town. We're right off of Butler Boulevard at the Marsh Landing Parkway exit, so there's no excuses if you live in another part of town. And if you want to find us online, you can always visit our website. It's vanweefinancial.com. You are going to need to spell our last name, which is tricky. It's V-A-N-W-I-E, or for those in the military, Victor, Alpha, November, Whiskey, India, Echo. And we do lots of stuff on the website. We have a blog where we post new articles at least twice a week. And we also post our podcast of the show. So in case you miss us, shame on you, but you can find the recorded show with commercial free on our website at vanweefinancial.com.
And I would remind people that we are kind of unique. It's a father-son business. Both of us have undergrad degrees that are technical. Adam's a mechanical engineer and mine in math. We both have MBAs. We both have decades of experience outside the financial services sector, and we are both certified financial planners. We do everything together as a team, so it's basically a two-for-one. Boy, I almost said the word Clinton in that sentence, but I won't.
different kind of team.
Different kind, yeah. Anyway, Katie Kirshner has graciously joined us today. You know that I talk about frequently the seven primary classes of assets, one of which is real estate. And real estate is not just something you live in or work in. It can also be an investment. You know we're very fond of things like real estate investment trusts. But there's a lot of money made over a long period of time in commercial real estate. And there's always that question that somebody has when they're going to start a business, as we did a couple years ago, which brings me to how we know Katie. If you spend any time out around Ponte Vedra and Jack's Beach, you'll see big white signs with a big red thing on them that says strategic sites. They're everywhere, very pervasive. So who did we call, of course, when we started looking for an office space? We called Strategic Sites. And Katie worked with us. It's almost 2 years ago now. So we looked around and we saw a lot of nice things, a few that we could live with, a couple that I wouldn't mind owning, but didn't really want to get involved in a brand new business with owning something. So we were looking to lease for a while. And one day, I'm telling a story out of school a little bit here. She called me one day and said, why don't you just kind of take a little time off over the holiday and stop looking for a while? Because I got a feeling there's something coming up in January that you're really going to like. Well, she had spent enough time with us by then to have a pretty good understanding of what it was we were looking for. So we went through the holidays and didn't really give it too much thought until January came and got a call from Katie, and she said, we can go see it now. So we did, and we didn't get much inside the front door and looked around and said, yeah,
we'll take it.
This is it.
Yep, pretty much.
Didn't know exactly what we were looking for, but I guess it's like the old Supreme Court thing where I know it when I see it. Well, we all knew it when we saw it. And, of course, we are still there, and we will be there for quite some time. And I'll tell you for sure, we did not make a mistake.
No, it's been a great location, so thanks for that.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. So, that said, we've got a bunch of things that we want to ask Katie. For those of you, if you're thinking of investing in real estate and commercial comes to mind, then we're going to try to emphasize that aspect of it. How do you get in it? Is there money to be made? How do you handle leasing two businesses like ours, especially when they're brand new and really have no track record? So lots and lots of those things that we want to talk about. Adam had produced a bunch of questions. I'm going to let him start the questioning and see what we can come up with.
Sure. So the first thing I want to know is a little bit about what kind of trends you're seeing in the commercial real estate market right now.
As far as vacancy rates?
Yeah, vacancy rates. Is it
pricing?
Is pricing going up? Does it mirror the residential market? How does that work?
Right. Well, vacancy rates are very low right now. I mean, we've seen a huge amount of absorption. Vacancy rates in retail are under 6% at the half year mark, and vacancy rates in office are about 9.5% at the half year mark.
Historically, is that a low number?
It is a low number.
Okay, yes. Not just based on what happened during the late 2000s.
Right. No, it's very low. Our inventory is the lowest we've seen it. You know, they give us our requirements, and we have a really hard time finding exactly what they need, because we're looking for that one building and you only have three to choose from, where in the past you may have had five or six or seven to choose from.
Do you do more selling or renting?
We do. It's about 50-50. We do leases and sales.
And is demand growing in our area?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Beaches are prosperous?
I think so. You know, we've got a lot of small businesses out at the beach. You know, we don't get the larger groups out at the beach because our rates are more expensive. You know, you can get more bang for your buck in town, mm-hmm. just because the rates do climb. So to lease 10, 15, 20,000 square feet out at the beach just doesn't make a lot of sense for a lot of people. You want to be at the beach if your clients are at the beach, if you live at the beach, you know, if the service you're providing is only for people at the beach.
That makes sense. What about new buildings? Are there new buildings going up?
There are. You know, we work throughout Jacksonville. I'd say about 60 to 70% of our work is east of the intercoastal. Most everything is east of the river, but we do go throughout town. We see a lot of development, especially in St. John's County. There's not a lot of room out at the beach for new development.
That was my next question. Although I have seen them squeezing some new office buildings into some really tight spaces.
Really tight spaces. Yeah, whatever they can get approved. You know, I think everybody, once you reach a certain threshold, people want to own. It just makes more sense sometimes. And so if you can find the land, it's a great opportunity. But there is a shortage for sure.
Hmm. So was it said, buy land, they stop making it?
I don't know, but
it wasn't smart. Because the Dutch people keep making it. But other than that, he was right.
I think they do that in Louisiana as well. So would you classify this current business environment for commercial real estate as closer to a normal environment than what we saw in 2008, 2009?
I think so. You know, rates are pushing back up again. Some rates are getting very high again, depending on which side of town. You know, obviously the town center rates are a lot higher than other areas of
town. I've heard that before, yeah.
Doesn't seem to bother anybody, does it?
No, I mean, you know, the people are there. Obviously, people succeed, and there's huge development going on at the town center.
Yeah, you see that tract of land, what I call across the road,
right
on the pond there, that it has been cleared now. My gosh, who knew how much land there was until they got it cleared off?
Yeah, and that Topgolf place, as you can see pretty clearly.
How did they get that approved? Talk about it. It's not exactly a non sequitur, but we were commenting on that the other day. How the heck do you get that? You know, basically, it's an eyesore to me.
Yeah, but I've heard that from the one in Tampa. I have a friend that I know that works there. It's supposed to be really cool, so I'm looking forward
to
them opening
that. I'm just surprised they went right on the highway like that.
Yeah, me too. Maybe that was the only place they could get it approved because it's on the highway.
Maybe.
So do you expect this current situation to last for a while, or do you expect to see a drop-off, or what are you kind of predicting as far as trends in the industry?
You know, we hope it stays steady like this for mm-hmm. a while. You know, like I said, inventory's low, but of course you're always going to have turnover, you know, people outgrowing their space, people unfortunately closing, that type of thing. But, you know, I think as long as everybody continues to make smart decisions and people don't start loaning money, you know, unwisely, then I think we can probably hold this state of normal.
Are you renting and selling to mostly new businesses or existing businesses?
It's a little bit of everything.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is there any land at the beach that you know of, if somebody wanted to build?
There's some small parcels, you know, spattered here and there. You know, Gate has that land in Ponte Vedra, but I believe it's under contract. It's about 2 miles south of JTB.
Okay.
And, you know, then you have to go further south. Obviously,
yeah.
Nocatee
is a huge area.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The only place I've seen much construction lately in the Ponte Vedra area is getting further and further south, obviously.
Absolutely. Well, the market's pushing a little further
left,
south, too.
Yeah.
Which was really not one of our parameters. I don't want our clients having to go down A1A any more than absolutely necessary.
No, the traffic has gotten terrible. And it's also fun to say that we're accessible from everywhere in Jacksonville, which we really are.
You guys are in a great location.
I'm so old, I remember that there didn't used to be all that traffic out there.
And there didn't used to be all those stoplights either.
No, and remember on Butler Boulevard when you had to pay a toll?
That predates me.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. It's been very successful, and part of the reason, I think, is because they have been pretty good to businesses out there. We had what I would call a very smooth operation. The only thing we waited for, really, was the state, and that took a little doing to get licensed. But all of our preparations and such, it was all quite easy.
Good.
I was very impressed by all that. All right, we're going to talk about a couple details that I have a personal interest in after the break, and we'll go on to some other questions too. The trivia question still stands out there. How many new highs did the S&P 500 hit on its way from where it was 20 years ago to where it wound up this week at yet another new high? And it's a big number.
And we do have a point in bringing that up, which we will talk about once somebody guesses correctly or at the end of the show.
How close are you going to do a hand grenade thing on it, plus or minus a couple?
I'll take plus or minus five.
That's pretty good. Okay. So give us a call. Lines are open. 222-TALK. It's 222-8255. After the break, I've got a word to say about the mayor and some things that affect all of us in our pocketbooks and affect some of us even more personally than that. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour, and thanks for doing it. Van Wee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And I'm Katie Kirshner.
And we still have a trivia question outstanding. We have some other things we got to take care of, but the lines are open. And as always, callers go directly to the head of the line. So give us a call at 222-TALK. That's 904-222-8255. We've been trying to get Mayor Lenny Curry, Jacksonville Mayor, to either call or visit the show. And as you probably can imagine, he's a really busy guy, so we hope it will work out soon. His staff has indicated his interest due to the nature of our request, which I want to talk about. So we do hope to hear from him soon. We hope to get him on the air so he can make his own case. This affects your money. If you can hear my voice, it's probably going to affect you and your pocketbook. It should come as no surprise to our audience that Adam and I are very conservative, which encompasses and includes a fundamental dislike of high taxes. Many of you probably listened to me over the past year and a half on this show railing against the proposed sales tax increase in St. John's County. It passed, so I guess I wasn't really very effective. But
try harder next time.
Yeah, well, don't you worry. But I didn't like it because of the way it was done. And I thought it would take some of the competitive edge off of St. John's County, my home, over Duval County.
We had
a whole 1% difference. Now we got a 0.5% difference. Well, that 0.5% was passed years ago, and I believe it was called the Greater Jacksonville Plan at the time.
I think that's
right. And it was temporary. You know what temporary means in political terms.
Until we pass it again?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So I warned against it when I was on a different show years ago when it passed. I said, you watch, when it runs out, it will not be allowed to expire. So here I am, possibly sounding like I'm being a hypocrite, but I don't think so. And I wanted to explain why, because Adam and I both support the extension of this 0.5% sales tax in Jacksonville to do the pension fix that has been neglected for decades. Pension obligations, whether they're private or public, are contracts between employees and employers. Contracts are legally binding agreements. The only way they can be violated is in the most severe situations like bankruptcy. Taxing authorities, like the city of Jacksonville, rarely face bankruptcies. When they need more money, they kind of reach out and pick your pocket. When pension benefits are accrued, it's at the expense of wages and salaries that people did not earn through their working lives. They generally, the public employees are generally paid less and accrue pension benefits. Today's employees, because pensions are pretty much a thing of the past, today's employees have 401ks, so they're generally paid more. Out of that, they are expected to save. Out of that, we like to think we get a little business.
Sometimes.
Great for us.
Yeah.
But people know that people with pensions expect to be paid their pensions. Today's retirees did not have the option of using the 401k. Yes, they could save privately, but the money that was paid on their behalf, which was actually included in their salaries and wages, that money is theirs by contract. So what does a pension-covered employee do when he's faced with a retirement with a pension that's not properly funded? Well, let me tell you a little bit about me. We're going to make it about me for a minute, good and bad. My parents spent their entire lives working for utilities, dad with Wisconsin Power and Light, and mom with General Telephone, which is now Verizon. They retired on pensions, and my father died very young. His pension died with him. But my mother is 86, and she's still collecting a pension, which is very comforting to her and to me and to my brother. We are all happy ever after because they have never missed a payment. Now the bad. When I was 24, I went to work for my father-in-law's consulting firm in Racine, Wisconsin. It happened to coincide exactly with the passage of ERISA, the Employee Retirement Income Security Act of 1974. So my first day on the job, he handed me the book called ERISA. He said, memorize it.
Ooh, that sounds like a
Use
fun
it.
First day.
I had never heard of it, of course. It was brand new and didn't have any idea what he was getting at, but it was one of the most significant things that ever happened to me. I was exposed to real-life situations, and I got to know very quickly why this law was passed. The most egregious example of pension failure I personally ever witnessed was the George Gorton Machine Company that was in Racine. It went out of business very suddenly in the 1970s. They had a traditional pension plan, and like most plans in that era, it was dramatically underfunded. When the company went belly up, the money soon ran out, and craftsmen who spent 30 or 40 years with the company got nothing, absolutely nothing. I am sure that many office workers for the company suffered a similar fate. Well, that's why ERISA was passed, to tighten the standards for pension funding and hopefully prevent these tragedies in the future. It has helped. And in fact, in 1996, I believe it was, the Pension Protection Act further strengthened the funding requirements because so many pensions were still underfunded. We also have now the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. That's better than nothing, as they say.
Which is also underfunded.
Which is also underfunded. I absolutely agree. Now, I have run across many people in my financial career, including airline pilots, who were promised six-digit pensions. What do they get now? A fraction of that, somewhere in the 40s, which is what the PBGC guarantees. So it is not a guarantee that you will get your entire pension. It is only a guarantee, an underfunded guarantee, that you will get part of your pension. Now, back to my personal situation for a minute. Had either of my parents been subject to an underfunded pension, I would have the right, in my mind, to be severely unhappy or worse. Fortunately, this didn't occur in my family. But think about the families in Jacksonville, your friends, your neighbors, people who have retired, saving our lives and our homes. You have to fund it, people. So many people want to deal with this issue by assigning blame, pointing fingers. Trust me, there's enough blame to go around. Every mayor we've had from every side of the aisle has left this ball on the table, kicked the can down the road, whatever you want to say, without doing any of it. Well, along came Mayor Curry. He has a plan that will not cost you an extra 0.5%. It will just continue what you're already paying. Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like taxes. I don't like temporary things going permanent. You know that. But it has to happen. It has to. So please support it. We hope to get him on to plead his own case. But this is a very important thing. If we're going to be the new bold city of the South that we claim to be, let's take care of our people.
Yeah, we certainly can't have billions in unfunded pensions and claim to be a premier city in the South. It doesn't align with our values, and we need to take care of our cops and our firefighters and all of our city workers.
Yes. Now, enough about me.
All right.
Okay. In fact, I think we ought to turn our attention to the people of Louisiana. What's going on over there is just unbelievable. I never thought I'd see anything that reminded me of Katrina again, and yet upriver a bit, it looks an awful lot like that. And that posed a question. My wife asked me something a couple days ago, and I scratched my head and said, I don't know. When we rented our office space, those of you who have been there know we're in a low-lying area called the Beaches, and we're on the first floor of a one-story building. So the question came up, what about flood insurance? I'm a renter. Now, I have flood insurance on my home. I was telling Katie when I bought the house, I asked the insurance agent, do I need flood insurance? She said, well, you're in a 6-foot floodplain. You got a 4-foot elevation. Do the math. I came up -2 on that one. So we all know from our experiences here and our experiences with looking at things like Louisiana today that floods happen. And even if you're not in a designated flood zone, things can happen. So I'm going to let Katie address that and have you hear from her. Get it started before the break, and then we'll come back and talk more about it. But the question I posed to her was, as my agent, am I covered with flood insurance, my business?
In general, the landlord always carries flood insurance on his building, especially if he has a mortgage on it and it's in a floodplain. Mm-hmm. And you have contents coverage and internal liability for your interior space.
And so that, to me, was very comforting. Although it is going to prompt me to call the insurance agent Monday morning, and I'm going to ask a little more about the contents insurance, because, as a homeowner, we always have a problem with what really caused the damage in your house. Was it a flood? Was it wind?
Starts and one picks up.
Exactly. So I'm going to make darn sure that we're fully covered. And we'll get back to that topic in a little bit more after the break. Don't go anywhere. Lines are open. 222-8255. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
I'm Adam Van Wee.
I'm Katie Kirshner.
And our trivia question is still out there. This segment, though, brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance, because things grow. I know. He knows. We all know. It's too hot to do it yourself. Call Troy at 662-9794. All right, trivia question. How many new highs has the S&P set in the last 20 years? And it is a large number. And anybody who can get within 5 points of that will get a Publix gift card from Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. All right, back to real estate. My only other question before Adam hits it again. When we were negotiating the lease, my questions were sort of numerous, but there was one big one. And it was this section called CAM.
Yes.
And I haven't leased anything since I can remember. So except punch press or two. I mean, that doesn't really require CAM.
Probably can't remember that very well.
Not well at all. So I thought I'd let Katie address that and what we can expect out of it, because these are more or less variable items.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
And okay, so why don't you give us a little 50-word thing on what
First
CAM
of all, tell us what it is.
Sure. Yep. CAM stands for Common Area Maintenance.
Okay.
And it's a kind of a broad term to incorporate your common area maintenance, which are your operating expenses on the property, and real estate taxes and property insurance that are passed through to tenants. You know, the landlord pays all these things. The tenant reimburses them usually 1/12 at a time per month. Depending on the type of lease, you know, you have a triple net lease, which is where they truly pass through all those expenses, and then you get the benefit should they go down. And you also have to pay the increase should it go up from year to year.
Go down, right.
Right. And the landlord has to provide an accounting showing where the numbers came from.
There is no commercial equivalent to the Save Our Homes Act, right? Property taxes are literally expandable.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So, so the CAM is included or includes your real estate taxes, insurance. It's based on your share or your pro rata share of your square footage in the total building. So they pass it through to all the tenants in the building. I think you guys only have two or three tenants in your building. Your owner, I believe, occupies the bulk of it.
That's correct. And there's one other tenant.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he pays, you know, his portion, and then you would pay your share based on your square footage.
And what has been the trend in taxes and insurance costs for commercial?
You know, it goes up a little bit. You know, the insurance has stayed pretty steady. Taxes have gone up a little bit over the past couple of years, but they stayed pretty steady for a couple of years there too. You know, I don't think there's been any dramatic hikes, but, you know, operating expenses kind of are what they are. We have controllable and non-controllable expenses. Your non-controllables, obviously, your insurance, your taxes, your utilities, that type of thing where you don't really have a say. Controllable being your landscape, your janitorial, those type of things.
And all that gets passed through in the CAM?
Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then what other type of leases? You mentioned a triple net.
That's a triple net. So where you pay for that, you know, it's a true expense. We have a modified gross where that's included in your, what we call the base lease rate. And then usually your space would be separately metered for electric and whatnot. So you'd pay for that. And then the full service lease, which is full service buildings where everything is included in that rate. You have more of what's an expense stop. And so they pass through again. And they're always going to pass through the increases because the costs are what they are. But those are the three main types of lease rates.
Okay, so that's a little bit different than the residential market where you sign a lease based on your rent and you might get your water covered if you're lucky, but outside of that, you're probably paying everything on your own.
Exactly.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All right, now let's look at it from an investor standpoint. If I decided I wanted to get involved in commercial real estate and I came to you and said, look, I'm looking to buy something. I don't want to use it for myself. It's purely an investment, but I want to have a good tenant with a good future and a nice steady cash flow. Do those exist?
They do, but you want that and so does everybody else. So there's definitely a shortage.
Well, maybe I shouldn't tell everybody.
Right.
Well, one thing I was curious about is if I wanted to do something like that or if I wanted to go and lease a commercial space, what are the benefits of hiring a commercial realtor such as yourself?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, you need a good team. You need somebody who knows the market, who has seen the trends and who knows what to look for and is familiar with the area. You know, I'm sure you guys would never recommend someone handle their finances alone.
Absolutely not.
Right.
Don't do it.
Right.
It is kind of a natural segue to have you spend a minute and just tell everybody how to find you.
Yeah. So we are Strategic Sites, Clifford Commercial, and we are located in Jacksonville Beach, but we work throughout Northeast Florida. We're a small boutique, full-service commercial real estate firm. We have 5 agents. We do sales. We do leasing. We do property management. We have a team that works primarily on retail and retail investments, large retail investments. We do a lot of office work. We do tenant representation. We do landlord representation. So we truly are a full-service boutique.
How would our listeners get in touch with you?
Well, our number is 904-242-2828. And our website is strategicsites.com, and that's SITES.com.
Okay. If you had a small business looking to move out to the beach from another town or from the city, that's the kind of thing that you would do right away?
Absolutely.
Okay. So anybody who's looking to move out there,
call me.
Let her rip.
Yes.
And we have a
first,
call.
Angie. Good morning. At least that's
morning.
What I...
Yes, morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
Taking a guess.
Okay, great.
130.
You are too low.
Yeah.
By a decent amount.
Yeah, and thanks for the guess. I appreciate it. But it's starting to make a point when you find out that that's too low. And Adam will explain the point of all of this when we get to it. But I appreciate the call. Anything else we can help you with?
No, thank you.
Thank you very much. All right. There is a bottom line on all the trivia questions that we do. We're always trying to make some kind of a point that has to do with investing and such. So we will make sure to do that before the end of the day. Anyway, back to the discussion. Strategic Sites can help with people like us. We had a really good experience, and of course I had parameters that not everybody has. The closest building to my house got the first consideration.
Absolutely. You could take the golf cart or walk.
I wouldn't be surprised if some other people had that same consideration.
I wouldn't either.
Absolutely.
But you know, one of the things we had to consider more than anything else, we have clientele that ranges in age from very small to quite a bit higher, and access and egress was very important. All right, we need a moment here. Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning.
You want to take a guess?
Yes, I'm going to guess 210.
Oh, still too low.
Still too low, but you're sneaking up on it. We appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, we're getting there.
It's a big number.
It is a big number. It's only 20 years.
I know.
But the journey there was from, what, 666?
Yeah, from 666.58 all the way up to when I did the close on the 18th, mm-hmm. which was actually Thursday, was 2187.02. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
It didn't get there by jumping 100 points at a time.
No, and you have to remember that does include 08 and some other really volatile periods. So, the total percentage increase that made up was 228%. So pretty good rise over that time, considering all that we've been through.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, now there isn't a whole bunch of time left, but one of the things I wanted to know, what do you find with lenders when people are looking to buy commercial real estate? What is a lender going to require before you can get a loan on the property?
Well, for owner-occupied or for an investment?
Let's do both.
Owner-occupied is a little bit different.
Should be easier.
A little easier, yeah. You know, there's some really good financing programs out there right now with a lot of the banks for owner-occupied, specifically medical. They'll loan a lot of money to doctors, especially startup practices and whatnot.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Investment purchases, it's going to depend on the rent roll. You know, what kind of tenants you have in there, how long are their terms, what are their credit worthiness, what kind of rates are you getting? You know, if it's a good national credit tenant, one of the big guys, they may give you, they may be okay with a 5-7% cap. You know, if you've got smaller local tenants on shorter term leases, they're going to look for a much higher cap rate.
That makes sense too.
And I assume that an occupied building is way easier to buy than an unoccupied building.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Those leases are valuable, I would imagine.
For sure.
There's always a catch 22 on these things, but nonetheless, a good idea. All right, Adam, why don't you explain the point for our listeners?
We're running out of time. So it's actually 283 new all-time high closes during the last 20 years. And I brought it up because we have recently set some all-time highs and people are getting nervous. And I'm not going to exclude myself from that group. But just remember that the market goes up based on setting those all-time highs. So it's happened over the last 20 years, 283 times. It can happen again.
And it will. And it will go down and it will go up. The one thing that we'll always guarantee you is that there'll be some volatility. Unfortunately, time's up. Special thanks to Katie. We
Thank
appreciate
you.
Everybody listening. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Be there.